All right. Last week's word was about the Mount of Transfiguration, and this is going to continue in the same vein. Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and you will find rest." And I don't know that we really realize how weary we are at times. And I think it has to do with what goes on between our two ears, the battle that rages in our mind. And there's something that the Lord wants to give us and make real to us in renewing our mind, which is going to bring rest to us. We talk about the kingdom of God and we relate it to the world that we live in. We can look at the prophecies, how the kingdom is to be a governmental force and authority that changes life on this planet completely. We can get caught up with that, and especially with the problems we're seeing right now. We want to see that more and more. But let's remember that first, the kingdom of God is a new mind. It's not eat or drink, it's peace, joy, righteousness, and the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have a renewed mind, if we're not thinking with the mind of the kingdom, then I don't think we're going to see the changes in the world that we're believing for. Because where do all the problems come from? All the problems with the economy, and we say we can trace it back to all the greed and selfishness. Well, where does that come from? Mindset, a way of thinking, selfish way of thinking. Where do all the wars come from? The way people think, hatred, prejudice. So that unless the mind changes, unless God can capture our mind with His, the world we live in doesn't change. The good news is the Holy Spirit is eagerly working to renew us to the mind of Christ. Now, we have two trees that we are in our being, the tree of knowledge, the tree of life, and we've talked about this. As long as we feed on the tree of knowledge, that's what the natural mind will always gravitate toward. We're going to have a certain life and a certain level of awareness that we're stuck with. The tree of knowledge is not just good, it's good and evil, and it's lumped together. I don't care how positive you are in your thinking, how hard you try to think only good thoughts, it's good and evil. It's all together. When you partaking of that tree, we have to look at the dynamics in the garden. What happened when they ate of that tree? What happened to their awareness, their mind? They were aware that they were naked and they felt condemned. As long as we feed on the tree of knowledge, we cannot escape the condemnation that the devil throws at us. And yet the Word of God says there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But that only becomes a reality through the tree of life. So the renewed mind is that journey from the tree of knowledge to the tree of life. As long as we're feeding off the tree of knowledge, we're constantly going to be hiding from the presence of God. Even though we know His presence is love and He's looking for us, what did Adam and Eve do once they had that knowledge? They covered themselves and hid. So again, we can't escape that as long as we're feeding on the wrong tree. We all want to be exposed and vulnerable before the Lord. We don't want to hide from His presence. We don't want to cover anything up. But it's the renewed mind that brings us to that tree of life where we can live that way, open before Him. Now, let's go back to Peter. A week before the transfiguration, and again, this was in last week's word, Transfiguration, we read about it in Matthew 17, Mark 9, Luke 9. That same word is used in Romans 12, 2, which says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transfiguration, transformation, new mind, all the same thing. A week before they go up the mountain, Jesus is asking the disciples who people say that He is. Peter has a revelation that he's the Son of God, and he's commended for it. Jesus begins to talk about how he must go to the cross, his destiny. Peter does not have a revelation of that. Unfortunately, Peter keeps talking. I'm sure the other disciples didn't either. They just didn't open their mouth. He says, Lord, this can't be. And the Lord looks and rebukes the devil. Says, you have the interest on men's interest, not on God's. Okay. What is happening here? This is the natural mind. Peter, in his thinking, has a capacity of who the Lord is, But that same mind does not have the capacity for revelation of the Lord's destiny. Put it this way. Peter could get the Lord was going to reign in glory. He could comprehend the crown, but not the cross. In his thinking, there was resistance to his Lord's suffering. That's the way we are. Parts of our mind are enlightened by the Spirit of God, and we rejoice in that. Other parts are still in darkness because we have our own agenda and we're resisting the revelation God wants to bring to us. Danger in having revelation is people that have a revelation in one area then think that their thinking is golden all the way through. We got to be really careful of that. No matter how much revelation you have, there's still darkness in the old mind. And we have to be humble and open for God to challenge our thinking and for the Holy Spirit to renew our thinking. So here's Peter, part renewed, part unrenewed. And Jesus wasn't rebuking him and rejecting him. Jesus knew that the source behind Peter's problem was the devil. The devil was influencing Peter's thinking. Just like when Jesus turned to the Pharisees and he said, "Your father's the devil." Well, Satan wasn't the actual father of them. What Jesus was saying was the way the Pharisees were thinking, that was the devil's input. He had influence over their thoughts, over their awareness. So he's rebuking the devil and he's looking at Peter saying, "You don't get it today, but you are going to get it somewhere down the road." A week later, they're on the Mount of Transfiguration, eyewitnesses of the glory of God. They're coming down the mountain, and Jesus tells them, "Don't tell anyone about this until I've risen from the dead." And they begin to talk among themselves, "What does he mean by risen from the dead?" They witness the glory of God, they hear the Father's voice, but it doesn't change how they think. They still do not have a capacity for a revelation of the destiny Jesus had to fulfill. God's glory and God's presence can be a great blessing to our life and still not be a transformation within us. We can be in meetings and see signs and wonders and hear words that are anointed and be blessed by it, and that's a wonderful thing, but the question is it transforming the way we think? Blessing does not necessarily mean transformation. Now, the disciples, can you imagine being up there with Jesus and seeing what they saw? Experiencing the glory of God that in that way that they did? Yet all of that, Jesus said don't talk about it because he knew it hadn't changed their inner world. But he did know at some point it would. We go forward to the day of Pentecost. Rushing mighty wind, tongues of fire, all these things happening. What changed with them? The Holy Spirit came and resided within them. Before that, when Jesus, after his resurrection, you remember one point he was with them, and it says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John, I'm not sure what verse that is, but you can find it. Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit that he'd been talking to them about all of a sudden was a reality within them. Now things become different. Peter comes out of that experience. Now here's another glorious experience. He already had one on the Mount of Transfiguration that didn't change his thinking. But now he comes out of the upper room. The Holy Spirit's in him. And read his sermon. He's talking about Jesus going to the cross, how he had to suffer and be raised from the dead. All of a sudden, that part of Peter's mind is renewed. He gets it, along with the other disciples. What made the difference? The Holy Spirit in them was able to renew a part of their thinking that had been blocked. And that's the Holy Spirit in us. We don't recognize the gift, this treasure. It's not just so we can move in a few gifts of the Spirit and you know, be aware that God's around somewhere. The Holy Spirit is in us to lead us into all truth. And that process means that if we're open to it, the Holy Spirit can change every bit of darkness in our thinking. It can renew our minds to God's thoughts. Yes. Go forward in the book of Acts, chapter 11 and 12. A man named Cornelius has a vision. An angel comes and says, I want you to send some men and get this guy named Peter and bring him to your house. Cornelius is a devout man, a godly man. He's not a Jew. Peter, separately, has a vision. Remember that that cloth or that sheet coming down and all kinds of animals and, you know, God saying, eat, Peter. Isn't that the words we love to hear? Peter going, I can't do that. It's unclean. He goes, what I call clean is no longer unclean. God coming and challenging Peter's prejudice. Now, you know the background to this. Peter was a devout Jew, and the conditioning of all the Jewish people was the Messiah came for them. That's how all the prophets were interpreted from the Old Testament. So at this point in time, that is the mindset of the Jewish people. Here Peter is challenged by God. And he opens up and responds and says, okay, let me read a couple of verses of this. And you can read this later. It's Acts chapter 11 and 12. Peter goes to Cornelius' home after that vision. Remember what happens? The Holy Spirit falls and fills all the Gentiles, and everybody's astounded. And then next chapter, he explains it to his brethren what happened. And there's so many verses there. He goes, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. If God therefore gave to them the same spirit as he gave to us after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should stand in God's way? Here's Peter that used to be in God's way with his thinking, right? No, Lord, you're not going to go to the cross. Actually openly resisting God's way. Here's a different man. Now you see, having a renewed mind doesn't mean you're perfect and always right. And that's what the religious mind wants to be. A renewed mind means you're in a place where God can challenge old prejudices and you open up to the truth and you're able to flow with God. Amen. Up to this point, Peter thought this is all for the Jews. And then God comes down and says, hey, Peter, guess what? This is for everybody. Do we realize how deep that is? I mean, you know, his conditioning. Here you have years and years of conditioning and God throwing a word into that and just blowing it up. Mm-hmm. What's Peter's response? Okay, God, I'll go with you. He goes to the Gentile's house. He watches the Spirit of God fall. He goes, wow, I never expected this. But it's you, God. Amen. The renewed mind is flexible, able to flow with God. That's what we need. I got news for you. We all have our ideas about what's going to happen in the days ahead, how God's supposed to move, this, that, and the other. Part of it's renewed. And let's face facts, probably part of it isn't. Should we worry about things? No, let's be open to the Holy Spirit bringing about that renewal to where when God comes and reveals himself to us and it challenges preconceived ideas, we can let go of the old wineskin. Otherwise, we become a people of religion, where we have this old wineskin, this way of thinking, and all we do is talk about new wine. But we can't really have the new wine because it would burst apart the wineskin, and we're not really ready to let that go. So if our heart is set, and this is the mind of the Holy Spirit, new wineskin. Let's let the Holy Spirit create new thoughts within us. Then we can hold the wine of whatever God is pouring out. 2 Peter chapter 2. Will you turn to there? This is actually our text this morning. And of the three that went up the mountain with the Lord, it's interesting. I can't find anything in James or John about the account, but Peter says something in 2 Epistle of Peter chapter 1. Start with verse 16. We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Now he's recounting his time on the Mount of Transfiguration. We ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Know this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now, why am I looking at this? Peter, years later, this was written, he supposedly died around 65 AD, and although this is disputed that he wrote it, I believe he wrote it. He wrote this a few years before his death. He's looking back at that experience, and he's telling us what stuck with him from that. Eyewitnesses of the glory. Then what is he talking about? We have this prophetic word. Pay attention to it. It's a light shining in darkness. In other words, when Peter was able to integrate that experience on the Mount, it made him aware of the Word of God being light in him and paying attention to that Word. He says, the Scriptures are not open for private interpretation. What does that mean? Look back when Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross, and Peter said, no, you're not. That's how we privately interpret the Scriptures. We look at the Word, and it doesn't fit our agenda, we change it. Peter is saying, you don't do that. This Word is written by the Holy Spirit. God spoke it, and the Spirit reveals it. So here you see how Peter has changed from his rigid, stubborn thinking. He's in a renewed mind where he's saying, we need to be open to the light of the Word of God. It shines in darkness. Where's the darkness? It's between our two ears. Right here. The light of the Word, that prophetic Word, shines in our thoughts and brings renewal to us. Who was Peter exposed to on the mountain? The Father speaking about the Son. This is something he carried with him. He's talking about this. We talk about the prophetic word. I don't think it's just referring to look back at what the prophets had to say and this, that, and the other. The prophetic word is any word that originates from the Father. And you better believe it's going to be about who the Son is. We go off on all these tangents. Prophesy about this, about that. We want to see this, we want to see that. The heart of the prophetic word and the prophetic ministry, it's all about the Father's voice revealing who the Son is. We've got that. That's it. That is the kingdom. That is everything God wants to do. One last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, a very familiar one. And I'm going to read a couple translations of this. Starting with verse 16, whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. 2 Corinthians 3, 16. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. From the Message Bible, whenever they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil and they are truly face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured like the Messiah. The Amplified, this is verse 18. Continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very image. Picture this. This is talking about relating to the glory, being transfigured. We're looking at his presence, but it talks about looking in a mirror. It's talking about the Word of God. When we receive the Word as it is, Spirit and life, The Word becomes light in us. If the Word is truly light, then we look at a mirror, we see ourselves in that light. We are able to honestly look at who we are and not hide from ourselves. It's in that exposure that we are transformed and able to change. A lot of people memorize scriptures. They want all kinds of teachings about everything from A to Z. But when they look at the Word, they don't want to see a mirror. They don't want to have to look at their own heart, their own life. As beholding in a mirror, when you're looking in His presence, what are you going to see? You're going to see yourself as you really are in Him. No fig leaves. No clothing we need to try to cover anything up. No hiding from His presence. That's when the Word becomes light. Now, what are we talking about? When our hearts are opened in this way, when our hearts are positioned to really say, okay, I'm willing to be transparent. I'm willing to be vulnerable. I'm willing to be honest before the Word of God. When our heart takes that attitude, our mind can change. You don't change the mind by working on your thoughts. The mind is transformed and renewed because of what happens in our heart. Looking as in a mirror. I don't want to see myself in the mirror. You know, I don't like looking in mirrors. Some people do, some people don't. I prefer not to, especially as my hair gets more blonde and less of it. But we're not given that option spiritually, that there's no, if you don't look in the mirror to see yourself as you're looking at the Word, there's no change. That's where religion is all about no mirror, no examination. Don't let the Word examine you. It's all about ritual, tradition. Great. Nobody grows. Nobody changes. It's not an atmosphere of growth. But this scripture talks about His presence being a mirror to us where we can be changed into His image. Talk about the presence of God. In John 1, it says the glory of God was filled with... Well, let me read that. We beheld His glory. It says the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Again, now the glory of God... The Word of God being one, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We're talking about the living Word of God. We're talking about the glory of God. It's full of something. What is it? Grace and truth. Both of those qualities are inner qualities. When you talk about the grace of God, it's the grace in you working, right? His grace is sufficient. It's talking about something that is working in our life. Talking about truth. What is truth? Again, it's something that's within us, working within us. So here's where the glory of God ceases just to be a source to bless us and becomes that which transforms us into who we're to be in the Lord. But we have that choice. As we're looking at His glory, the Mount of Transfiguration, oh, I just want to be somewhere where I have these wonderful spiritual experiences. For what purpose? Of course it's going to be a great blessing. But are we settling for blessing? Or is there something in our hearts that's contending for transformation? Because that same presence can transform how we think, who we are, our sense of identity. That's the promise given in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But are we willing for that presence to be a mirror? Are we willing to look at our lives in an honest way? Are we willing for the Word of God as it comes into us to be more than good sermons that we stick on a shelf? I mean, we're good at listening to the Word. But are we good at opening up and saying, that Word, I'm going to allow that Word to be light to my heart, exposing who I am? Because when it's light in darkness in us and we let it expose the darkness, the mindset that we have all of a sudden begins to change. Our perspective begins to change. God's thoughts begin to become our reality. And that's what we're looking for. Yes. Amen. Lord, bless the Word to our hearts this morning. God, give us a greater awareness of what the Holy Spirit is all about in our lives. Amen. Amen.